So I want to read a couple of scriptures, then I just want to share some thoughts with you, and then get us out of here and get us on the rest of our day. But one of the things, as I mentioned, Pastor Derek and I, we've known each other for a while, and we were talking recently even about this service. He was asking me about what my expectations were for the service, and he was really saying because in his heart and mind, as well as mine and as well as ours, those of us that are joined to heirs, we absolutely believe that we are to walk in the fullness of all that Christ did for us on the cross. Thank you for the seven that was with me on that. That we all believe that we should be walking in the fullness of everything that God has done for us, whether it's healing, whether it's financial prosperity, strongholds broken in our lives, reconciliation, restoration, whatever it is, those realities should be in our life in every area of our lives. You all, come on, just come on, stay with me now. I know this is Easter and you want to get to the restaurants, but they're going to still be open and you're going to get there. Amen. But I want to keep us focused for just a moment on what I believe to be what I want to talk about, just some kingdom lessons or kingdom principles as a result of the crucifixion and the resurrection. One of the things that's most apparent when we read in the scriptures around Jesus drawing the 12 and the others that followed is none of them really understood what he was about. None of them really understood what he was about because back in those days, not unlike days now, there's the uprising of groups and leaders and movements and those kinds of things. Well, when Jesus showed up, Gary, they didn't think this was any different. This guy shows up and people just start following him. Now, there was a difference because when Jesus showed up, he brought a kingdom with him. It was an invisible kingdom. And the thing that I love about the ministry of Jesus is when he sent the disciples out, he said, go out, heal the sick, cast out devils, and then say, the kingdom of God is here. I love that. I love that. He didn't say, tell them that the kingdom of God is here and then do the things. He said, do them and then tell them what it's about. I believe in the life of every believer, particularly in the times in which we live, that you and I should be living out our Christian experiences, our kingdom experience, in a way that people are in awe of what's happening in your life, and you're able to share with them the kingdom. You're able to share with them the kingdom. So I want to read from the book of Acts just here, reading and starting at verse 1. It says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. After he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days. Say 40 days. I need you to think about that for a moment. Jesus didn't just rise from the grave and go to heaven. He walked around for 40 days. As a matter of fact, some of those that were resurrected with him walked around as well. Now, how many of you know that had to be crazy? But it's kind of like, here's one of the things that often we don't recognize or we don't appreciate when we talk about the redemptive work of Christ. It wasn't that he died on the cross, that they nailed him to the cross and he died on the cross. He went to hell. It says he went to the lower depths and dealt with the devil. And those that were held captive, when he came out, he brought them with him. Get your stuff. Let's go. I mean, I like those visuals. It's kind of like one of those X-Men movies. I don't know the title of the X-Men movie, but I know Wolverine was in the movie. Okay, now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about at all, so just stay with me. But Wolverine had these long things that would come out of his hands. And Wolverine found himself in a situation where all of these X-Men mutants, that's what they called them, special powers and, you know, superhuman powers, were all locked up. And I love the scene because I just happen to be one of those overly spiritual kind of people. That you can be looking at a cornflake box and get a revelation. I just happen to be one of those kind of crazy people. That's just, you know, pray for me. But I'm sitting there in the theater watching the movie, and I watch Wolverine, and he recognizes that all of them are being held captive. And then all of a sudden you see this scene where his long knives come out, okay? And he comes out, and then he runs down the row of all the people captive, and he just holds out like this, and all of the chains start breaking off, and he just runs all the way down like this, setting them free, and then turns around and says, "Let's go." That's where I see Jesus. Jesus, he not only died on the cross, but then he went down, and he said, "Devil, you know what I'm here for. You know what I'm here for. Uh-huh, we got you." See, one of the things that I love about how God moves, and one of the things that often can be confounding or confusing for us, and now I'm talking about some of the kingdom lessons, is that things are not always as they seem to be. They're not always as they appear. Now, that's challenging, and the reason why it is challenging is because we like things to be nice. We like things to be pretty. We like things to be in such a way that we don't have to explain why our stuff looks jacked up. Even though it's really not jacked up. It's just the process that we find ourselves in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got years of those kind of stories when it just was all crazy looking. But I knew I was in the will of God. I just had to stay the course. And I realized at a certain point, I can't explain this any differently than the way I've explained it. I need to let them do what they're going to do and let God do what he's going to do. And so I can only imagine when Jesus got to the point and said, "I've said all I'm going to say." Okay? Because you're still not getting it. And they weren't getting it. They were expecting this uprising. They were expecting Jesus to establish his kingdom and this overthrow of the Roman government, the overthrow, and that he was going to come into reigning. That's why James and John's mother came and said, "When you come into your kingdom, can my son sit on the right hand and one on the left?" See, she's vying for position because she's not understanding it either. As a matter of fact, they didn't understand it not only once he got to the cross, but even on the other side of the cross. They just didn't get it. They didn't understand it. That's why the same guy who got the revelation, or at least spoke the revelation, say spoke the revelation. Come on, say spoke the revelation. He spoke the revelation, but he didn't get the revelation. Now, that's a good one. Yeah. You can speak a revelation, but still not get the revelation. It's still not on the inside of you. And that's what happened with Peter. Because when Jesus, now, he's talking about his kingdom, and he's saying, now, tell me, who do men say that I am? Now, this is not a popularity poll. He's not looking to see where he needs to change up his ministry to be more popular with other people. That's not what Jesus is doing here. He's just wanting really to get an understanding on his guys. So after they say some things, then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" "Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you." Matter of fact, he was saying, "You're not that smart. But my Father revealed that to you." So he got that revelation. I mean, he spoke the revelation, but he didn't get the revelation. Now, if you can hear me in the context of this, I'm really going some places now that are just Holy Spirit led. I choose to believe every Sunday Holy Spirit led. But I'm trying. I'm off script, at least what's on my iPad. Here's the thing. You can sit up under revelation week after week after week after week. But if you don't get the revelation, you keep messing up. You keep being confused about what's going on over and over and over again. Because the same guy that spoke the revelation coming out the garden is the same guy that cut off the ear of a man. And Jesus had to check him. "Peter, don't you know? I could call 12 legions of angels and shut this down right now." A legion. The legion is 6,000. I can call 12 legions. Do the math. 72,000 angels could show up right now. Now, it only took one to scare him at the tomb. He said, I could call 12 legions of angels and shut this down. The same guy who spoke the revelation, who was the same guy that denied him three times. Because while he spoke the revelation, he never got a hold of the revelation for himself. That was one of the challenges that Jesus had, because we see that as he is continuing, it says here that, now I'm back in Acts, I'm back on script. It says, to these he presented himself alive after his suffering by convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Concerning the kingdom of God. Not concerning how to start your church. Not concerning how to start your small group. Not concerning how to start your ministry. But concerning the kingdom of God. His whole message was that of the kingdom. For every born again believer, heir of God, joint heirs with Christ, there is only one message. It's the message of the kingdom. It's walked out differently in your life than it is in my life and those sitting beside you. But we are all kingdom representatives. You may go to this fellowship or that fellowship, but your identity, your greater identity, is that of the kingdom. And if you allow yourself to be locked into the identity of the church, the denomination, the theology, you will shortchange yourself and maybe those around you, because you've never understood the fact that the church is within the kingdom. Within the church are little churches that cause it to be even a smaller microcosm of the kingdom. So then we wonder why we don't see the power that Jesus said they would have once the Holy Spirit came upon them. Are you still with me? I got 7 minutes. I just made that number up. Okay. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It goes on and says this, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? See, that's what they're thinking about. That's what they're thinking about. He said, it is not for you to know the times or epochs, says, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. It says, and after he answered these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? I was reading that last night. I said, that had to be in. Now they're gazing intently. Now, what's gazing intently mean? Okay. I'm just trying to get. Put it, let me put it there. They were looking too long. I don't know what gazing intently is, but apparently they were looking too long, because the two men that showed up said, why are you still looking in the sky? For the way that he left, he's coming back again. You need to get busy. That's the part. It didn't quite say that, but that's in essence. They're saying, hey, don't stand here and keep looking. Go out and do the works now. Don't stand here and keep looking. Go out and establish the kingdom now. Because that is what he has talked to you about his whole ministry and the last 40 days he's been with you since he was resurrected from the dead. It's wonderful for us to celebrate the resurrection. It's good to know what he has done and celebrate what he has done. But our truest expression of appreciation is what we do with what he did. What you do with what he did. What you do with what he did, meaning you begin to exercise your faith that you're able to walk in the completeness and the fullness of the redemptive work of Calvary. Sickness and disease is an enemy of the kingdom. Lack and poverty is an enemy of the kingdom. And you and I must vehemently war against it, fight against it. In order, we will contend, you will contend for the establishing of God's kingdom in your life, in your affairs. Now, I'm not talking about loving God. I'm not talking about going to heaven. That's a given. Say, that's a given. That's why I want to say to all of us again in the next 2 minutes that we cannot stay in a place of trying to convince people to get saved, to go to heaven. It's too far off. Any of you been there? What'd you say? I mean, some people have had those experiences, but here's my point with it. Jesus told them, go make disciples. Now the scripture says in Mark, it says, share the gospel, good news. What is the good news? The good news is that God is not holding your trespasses against you. That's the good news. We live in times now where it's hard. You can't even convince people there's a heaven. They have marginalized, minimalized things so much that there's no heaven, there's no hell. There's no male, there's no female. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. But somewhere in the message of the kingdom is a solid message of a king who rules and is in charge of everything. The thing about operating in the kingdom is there is a king. He doesn't take a poll. There's no voting. It is all God. It is all God. Jesus sent them out to establish his kingdom now. It was going to take more than any of them ever imagined. Things are not always as they seem. The second point I want us to understand is God's ultimate plan is often hidden until an appointed time. His ultimate plan is often hidden till an appointed time. Nobody really understood, those around Jesus, what he was doing. But it was for an appointed time. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians it says, had the enemy known what this plan was about, he'd have shut that down a long time ago. But by the time he got to the cross, on the cross, it was too late. That's why once he got on the cross, enemy tried to get him off the cross. The thing that he didn't recognize about Jesus, that his biggest test didn't come on the cross. His biggest challenge came in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because it was in that moment that if there was any time for him to back up, draw back, or his flesh to get the best of him, it would have been right then. That's why in that moment, it says this. It says, while being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Meaning, while going through probably the greatest test that he would ever go through, he prayed more earnestly. It says an angel came and ministered to him. Read it sometime for yourself. Now, what made this work for Jesus is when he entered into the garden, it said this. as it was his custom. Yeah. As it was his custom. What am I saying? He had a pattern. He had a practice. He had a disciplined life of prayer. And when the 12 disciples were acting a fool and the crowds were on him, he would draw away and find that place of solitude. I'm saying to some of you, that's what you want to find yourself doing even now. And when you do it in the times of less stress, when you find yourself challenged, you will find yourself moving into that place. And because it's your custom, because it's your practice, you're able to hear him. How many of you understand this? That one of the most challenging times to hear from God is when you're under pressure, you're distressed, discouraged, and you're crying out trying to hear from God, but you just can't hear from him because all that other stuff is going on. That's why if you can establish a disciplined life of being intimately acquainted with him, having a daily relationship with him, exalted, evidenced through obedience. That's what helps you to be in that place. So he is now stepping into this. What the enemy didn't recognize was when he spoke the words to his father, "If it be your will, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." What the enemy didn't realize is when Jesus stood up to come out of that garden, he was a dead man walking. He was a dead man walking. Everything and anything that needed to be settled for him to fulfill his destiny was settled. That's why he was able to walk out of there. And when he had an opportunity through Peter's action to still get out of it, he said, "Stop it. You're messing something up here." That's why when he got before Pilate and he got before Herod, his words were few, because he was a dead man walking and nothing could have messed that thing up. But when he got on that cross, the enemy realized, "I just messed up." That's why they tried to ridicule him, tried to get him to come down. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. God's ultimate plan is often hidden until an appointed time. You must know, as kingdom citizens, as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that God will have you walking through a season and it's going to look like it's going the opposite way. It's just going to look that way. It just seems that way. It just appears that way. But if you can stay the course, God will keep certain things hidden until the appointed time. Some of you have been hidden, but now it's your appointed time. I'm going to say that again for some of you who really want to press into this. You've been hidden, but now it's your appointed time. Come on, say, "It's my appointed time. It's my appointed time." I'm closing now with one more passage of scripture. Come on, team. Let's act like I'm closing. Come on. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, Paul. Everybody say Paul.
Paul.
Okay, what was Paul's name before Paul?
Saul.
It was Saul. Who was Saul? Saul was a persecutor. Saul was like a serial killer. Paul was a murderer. Come on. I mean, it's good to understand that so that you can apprehend the greatness of the redemptive power of the cross. That even as messed up as Paul, as Saul was, Jesus still said, "I got a plan for you." Hey, that gives some of us some hope.
Oh.
Come on, I said that gives some of us some hope. And when Paul begins his ministry, now Paul is writing out of a place of an apostle to bring the body into a place of understanding to fulfill purpose and destiny in the kingdom. And this is what he says, Ephesians 1, verse 15. It says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and the love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's saying, I'm praying that this thing will increase in you so that you really get it. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 2, it says, and now this is the point that I need us to get right now. See, we read the Bible in chapters. It wasn't written that way. Okay? So I need you to see that and as a continuation of what I just read out of chapter 1. Okay? Say and. Come on, say continue.
Continue.
It says, and you were dead in trespasses and sin in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. It says, among them, says, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, says, even as the rest of them. But, now say but. Now, that's a really good word. That's a kingdom word. But that means he's now getting ready to say something that changes what he just said. It's like saying, I forgive you, but I love you, but yeah, how many of you know that just puts a spin on it that doesn't feel real good? So he says, but God, being rich in mercy. Yeah, play something. Yeah, that'd be real good right now. Just hey, Pastor Derek, come back up. I want to finish out with that Abba piece, okay? Can you just come up and help us with that? Thank you, Jesus. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means while we sit here in the flesh at 2470 Princeton Road, Hamilton, Ohio, 45011, in the spirit, oh God, in the spirit, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I choose to look at life from that perspective. Every now and then, you just got to look down on some things. Every now and then, you got to look down on some things. Sometimes life tries to hit you face to face. Problems and concerns try to hit you face to face. But if you can remember, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That thing that's trying to confront me is really beneath me. It's not where I am in God. And so I will not relate to it out of it being right in front of me. I'm going to put it in its proper place as I acknowledge the proper place that I'm in. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one, none of us, may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God had a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. It starts when you're a child. It starts when you're a child. It starts when you're a child. God has a plan.
Yeah.
God has a plan that starts when you're a child. And when you're young, it's hard to really get it. But before you got here, God had a plan hidden in Christ. When Christ rose from the dead, we rose with him. When we acknowledge him, we're now seated with him in our rightful place. And that which is hidden until the appointed time will soon become a reality for all to see. Paul was writing and saying, I'm praying that you will get the revelation so that you will walk in the wisdom and the discipline of the reality of who you really are. Who he has created you to be. We celebrate the resurrection. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
But now it's time to live the life that he has intended for us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you. Jesus. 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 Jesus.